when we were young, we were taught to make decisions logically and completely diminish the importance of the heart. We don't want to accept that part of our spiritual self because it's so different and it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense, we can't understand it. So it's kind of understandable how our human mind actually works, right? Because you can't understand, you can't trust it, so you shouldn't listen to it.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Igrita Dandrell, and you're listening to the Mindful of Everything podcast, which calls for revolutionary healing of self and community in order to outgrow our broken culture of radical individualism and disconnection from community, to collectively re-envision a safer, healthier, and equitable world. In today's episode, we are joined by Vivi Tai, an author, truth seeker, and healer, determined to live in a liberated way through the alchemical and nomadic pathway to true freedom. Vivi believes that we must rediscover our inner freedom on an individual scale to be able to collectively birth a new world which is free from institutional violence, of fragmentation and division, of a unified earth within a connected universe. Welcome to Mindful of Everything, Vivi. Thank you once again for accepting to come onto this space.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. And I'm really excited to discuss with you the topic that we're going to today.
Today's episode, just to let the audience know, is really special for you as well, because it will kind of explore your transformative journey to becoming who you are, but also for this podcast, because we are getting to focus on a particular intersection between science and philosophy that we haven't explored in this space yet. And just this conversation really gives us that opportunity to explore a different pathway to healing and to becoming who you need to become. So I would love to start off the episode by asking you if you can tell us how you began to re-engineer yourself, a reflective term that you use in your book, which we will soon explore. So yeah, how did you begin to re-engineer yourself to become who you are today?
Well, I use the term re-engineering because that is my background. I had a background in chemical engineering and biomedical engineering. I came to know the term when I was in grad school, when I took the course, the re-engineers, and I get to learn like what it really meant. And re-engineering basically like taking kind of like a product apart, integrate it and study and integrate it differently from its original form so that it can have like a different function, like something a little bit more useful and more powerful than the previous form that it was in. So it got me to think about my life. If we think it ourselves is a product, an object, then how can we really transform ourselves into a higher being? Something better, different state of being, because essentially engineering means problem solving, and we all have challenges in our life, right? So it really makes sense for like an engineer to, you know, come up with solutions, how to solve the problems in their life so they can evolve and transform. And this is like not just engineer, but deal with it every day. And I think in engineering skill, we would train with problem solving. So maybe we have analytical thinking to solve our life problems. However, because we are human beings, we are integrated of not just a physical, biological being, but we are also spiritual being. That's the reason why we need to understand our spiritual aspect and our spiritual knowledge in order to solve our problems and our human growth, you know. And so that's how it came to me, re-engineering my life. Like, what can I do in order to grow myself and to gain the freedom and peace in this life form, you know, because that's ultimately all of us, because there's just already so much suffering on earth and in life is but those challenges throw at us in order to push us to grow, because otherwise there wouldn't be any work for engineer. So to re-engineer my life, when I got to understand that concept, but after I graduated from my grad school and started working on my first job, I wasn't happy. There was a real problem there that I needed to pay attention to by myself. And I was really stressed and depressed, almost anxiety going to work. Like, I was just questioning, like, why did I have to put myself in this kind of situation? Like, to do the kind of work that I wasn't happy. And why did I have to push myself into this situation? And so as I was questioning the questions, I started to realize that I was on the wrong path. Because my life back then was all about achieving more status, like higher status, in order to get the green card. Because I was an immigrant, but I was an international worker in the US. And I wanted to obtain the green card so I can have my own freedom. To me, that's what it meant at the time. But I wasn't really happy the whole time. Living in the US for a decade. It was about 12 years. And so as I reassessed my life, I realized my engineering skills better utilized to solve my life problems than working for employers. It's because if you can't even solve your life problems, then how can you solve the world problems? Because we all humans have their own problems, you know, and if you cannot be that example, like how can you say that you are a good engineer? It doesn't matter what you actually achieve on the outside, like with your job or your status. After I lost my job, I decided that I wanted to live differently. I really took apart everything, because I came into the blanks, like just kind of like my old self was like dysfunctional. I think of myself like an object. I'm like, I had to take it apart and reintegrate everything back together. Like, how can I start from the beginning? And what is it that I really want, like this product or myself to be or to function? Like, what is it like my direction in the future? Like, who I want to be? And that's the re-engineering process was like for me, like took everything apart and put it together. And it has to be different. That's the reason why I chose to live a different lifestyle. And I become a nomad and an author now these days instead of being like an engineer, because the corporate life didn't work for me anymore. Because of that, I gain more freedom and more peace within myself. And clearly, I'm happier with who I am now than before. And even like to say, I love myself, it doesn't feel like, I don't feel like I have to cringe. It doesn't feel like so awkward to admit that, like, I don't have to push myself to love myself, but I feel like I can accept myself and love myself a lot easier because I'm so much more in touch with who I am and a lot more authentic because I went through that process.
I think the re-engineering lens that you've applied onto your own sort of healing journey and your journey to become who you are is so beautiful in a sense, because you're able to bring your old self, you know, the self that struggled to become who she wanted to become, and your new self, where you've incorporated the nomadism in your life, and you've been able to combine the two. So do you think that the turning point for you really was when you had this awakening that science, philosophy, and also ancient wisdom can be brought together? They're not separate realms. And when these three realms meet, true liberation can actually happen.
Yes. At the time, I didn't really quite understand spirituality. It was all about how can I reassess my life and make a difference and live differently. I didn't really understand duality and what it meant until just like 2 years ago, when I really started to dig deeper into the personal development world. Now, I did learn about the law of attraction, and the Alchemist book came to me at the time that I left my life in the US and things started to crumble and fall for me. That was the time the Alchemist book came into my life. I didn't know anything about spirituality. I thought that it was a superstition, more like all the woo-woo thing. There was no scientific fact about it. Who, like, how can people really prove any of this? You know, because I was so practical and analytical, like I needed facts. But none of the facts, like none of anything that I learned in the past to be successful and feel free on the inside. And so when I came across about spirituality, and about the law of attraction, I'm like, maybe I'm just going to give it a try, even though I didn't really understand it, because a lot of people have claimed it has actually worked for them. Because I didn't have anything else to lose anyway, so why not to try it out? And when I read the book, The Alchemist, I learned about the process of trusting your heart and listening to it and let it guide you. Now, I was trained and I was raised to make decisions using your left brain, the analytical side. So the concept, even the concept of like to your heart was very foreign for me at the time, but because everything didn't work for me, so I have to try something new. And that's still the process of re-engineering, right? You have to try so many different trials to come with something that works. That's normally what prototype is like. And I study a little bit about spirituality and a little bit of the law of attraction and then quantum physics. Now, it blew me away because I love science. And I think it was 4 years ago that I came across a podcast by Nassim Hamin, but he's a scientist. He's a quantum physicist. So he explained how the universe is so integrated, that the spirituality and the universe is so integrated with science and is not really different, and how actually just catching up with the spiritual world right now. And there's so many evidences that prove that spiritual knowledge actually is not that much different from science. So as myself, Reiki practitioner, I, even though I don't understand like all the concept, like scientifically, but because I can feel it. So that kind of intrigued me to question, like, even though I don't really understand the facts about it, but I can feel it and the result of it, then, you know, the feeling that comes with it. And so since then, I start to question and seek for fact and rather to just believe it, because I have senses, you know. So it's not like you don't have to see, and there's always have to be like concrete fact in something. You know, when I was in grad school, I read a lot of research paper about pain management. And it's a very difficult subject, even though for science to study, because our mind is just fascinating. We all don't understand so much about it. And so pain has to your mind, your how your neuron network really works in order to send signals to different parts of your body that, oh, like here and here. And so during that time, I did study different type of modalities to manage pain. And as I look into research and so many research papers, even though there's very thorough research that was conducting, but there was no clarification how it actually worked. Like acupuncture, like laser therapy. So I was thinking that laser therapy, like, is a technology that's developed by us. So maybe we understand how it actually affects our human body. There were several years back then that when I was in Russell, I think it's about 2013, right? So they could not understand how laser helped you to regenerate the cell and inhibit pain. So they could only obtain, but they couldn't explain it. And so when I realized that, I'm like at first I didn't want to utilize technology into my prototype because I was working on a medical device for pain management then. But there weren't that many modality that didn't use drugs to manage pain because we didn't want to come up with something that the patient would have to rely on drug and be addicted to drugs to manage their pain. So that's why we decided to create a prototype, like a medical device to manage their pain. But there aren't that many research out there for that. And a lot of paper or books that actually understand how pain really works. You know, even they came up with certain modalities like massage and heat and acupuncture and all that stuff. Nobody actually could explain how the body works.
That's mad.
So, you know, and so when I came across Reiki, I was crazy that I could feel the energy running through my body. Like, it's not like sensation I felt before. It's not kind of like, you know, electric that go through your skin, like when you touch, like get a shock. It's nothing like that. It was more like sensation of energy flow into your body. But I couldn't explain it. Just like, and it's kind of reminded the research I did back then in grad school, how nobody could really how the healing actually work using certain type of modalities. So as I learned more about quantum and energy healing, like I started just to accept because I could see the result and I could feel it even though I didn't much about the facts or like how I could explain it. I started to accept it and went through with it and think that we human are still a very young species. Like our science field doesn't get to explain everything. We still a lot of things that we don't know. Even like if you look at the ancient technology back then, it was very advanced, right? So lately, in late research, we know that a harmonic technology, which is sound, which is ridiculously advanced, and we can't even do it now, you know? And so, like, how much of science that you really need to start accepting that there's so much that we still don't know about the universe and our spiritual body is. And so until you can get on your skepticism away and start open your mind to learn and to accept, we can start integrate our understanding and utilize what we know and what gives us for our own healing. I have friends that are still very skeptical about because they don't know what it is. And they're like, but you can't explain to me in scientific way. But, you know, there's a lot of people have already been healed by it. And there's actually the split experiment. It's basically an experiment where they just let they shoot the laser into like a certain spot. The beam of laser would just go directly and you can see it from the other side of the wall. Now, when they put like an eye that observed that light, so now the beam split according to what the eye wanted to split. It's all about the intention that we put behind it. And clearly there's like the connection between the light and the eye. You know, there's so many experiments like that. And we can only see or we can only feel, but we can't clearly how it actually works because our science is still that advanced in order to provide us all the answers. And I have heard so many people in the spiritual world that kind of tell me exactly the same thing. Well, and I know that I'm not the one. And now there's so many doctors and scientists that actually very spiritual as well, because they have sense and they have come through the spiritual awakening, and they have senses. And many of them also say that, oh, we don't understand everything, but we follow that intuition and that guidance, healing, and our own evolution. And for me, I wasn't really skeptical because I wanted to try new things anyway. And so when I got to about spirituality through the personal development, I started to feel like I was a different person. Like every year, I feel like I'm a different person. Like I grow so much, like tremendously before the time that I was in life back then. And when I started to give my life a chance to do everything differently, my healing journey has, you know, improved. And it's just fascinating. And it has come, and to me, it has come to the point that I can accept myself and love myself truly. And to me, that's a big accomplishment. So maybe that's a very long answer. Is that clear enough? Like how I was able to integrate like science and spirituality all together. But it's a very slow process for me. Like to start trying new things, and because it's I went through it for several years and myself into it and be more open about it.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience on that. I think it's really reassuring as an environmental scientist myself to know that scientists are now starting to accept that we won't know everything. And I think just accepting that there is going to be the unknown is a revolutionary act of healing. That's something that we focus on the podcast. You know, how can we revolutionize healing collectively and also individually? And I think in terms of the scientific community, that is such a big step to healing, to actually accept that, okay, there is an unknown and that's perfectly fine. You can try to explore a little bit more, you know, the unknown realm, but just understanding that we won't always get the answers, that is just so important. But in your book, The Living Through Alchemy, The Transformative Journey to Freedom, you use the framework of alchemy to, you know, get to know yourself more. And the book that you've gifted to me so kindly, the PDF copy, I was just reading some of the chapters and just explaining every single stage and also linking it to tarot as well, I think was just so powerful. So thank you for creating this masterpiece. It's so amazing to see that you can actually apply a sort of section of science to spirituality. You've actually shown the practicality of that. A lot of us say, well, science and philosophy, spirituality, they are together, they're intertwined, but you have actually shown how we can apply that. So if you could explain to us very briefly, because alchemy itself and the way you've explained it, it's very thorough, it's very deep, and I think we'll need a separate episode altogether to explain it. But if you could just like briefly explain to us the stages of alchemy and how that can apply to spiritual healing, that would be amazing.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I tried to make it brief, even though it can be a very big topic to talk about. So alchemy, as we all, is like a chemical reaction that turns lead into gold. But that process can be like a metaphorical for us to apply into ourselves. Because if you think like our like former self, like life, and our higher self is goal, and that's the transformation and the transmutation that we have to go through in order to transfer from the lower self to the higher self. And so the concept of alchemy is explained in order to help us understand what actually happened during the process of transmutation. We utilize different elements in order to help us heal, like fire, water, earth, and air, the combination of those elements. So each stage, you're going to encounter a challenge that's going to push you to overcome it. And to, because as you go through this challenge, you will add your vibration because you're clearing out all the impurity or the corruption within your energy body. seven stages are the calcination, the dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, and coagulation. So the coagulation has been referred as the ancient wisdom explained, if you have the philosopher's stone, it will turn into gold. Kind of like in the alchemist's book where Paulo Coelho described Santiago had the capability to transform the weather, to change the weather, because he was then an alchemist. He could, if you touch anything, it would turn into gold. But just know that this alchemical can really take time for like human being to evolve and grow. However, multiple layers of alchemy as well. As you go through these stages, you're going to keep go, like when you finish, you're gonna keep going to go back to the circle and go up to the next layer of the circle. You know, so the cycle in the cycle is like part of the universe that ever growing and ever expanding, because that's alchemy. Alchemy of change is like our cell. We have like billions of cells in our body, and these cells is like and die, grow and die, right? So it's the cycle of life, and it's same as alchemy. But as we understand we are in specific stage of alchemy, then we'll be able to see things in different perspective and high perspective, ask ourselves, like, how can we actually overcome these challenges and not stay in the victim mentality? So that's one of the benefit of understanding alchemy. And by understanding it, we also know that we actually have impurity in our body. And by releasing this impurity, we'll be able to gain much higher vibration. And because we have high vibration, it'll be easier for us to manifest things that we want in our life. We also have more peace and freedom within ourselves as well. So as you go through these stages, it can be a very organic process because we all have to go through it. But because the knowledge about it, then you would kind of like let go of the control and go with the flow of pushing against the grain, but rather utilize these synchronicities and the flow of alchemy to lead us, to guide us. So I didn't even know what I was on the alchemical journey until I started writing the book and until I really understand the spiritual concept of alchemy. And I realized, yeah, everything happened for me for a reason. And it happened because I needed to grow out of my former self. And I understand now what is required of me to go to the next step, to go to the next level, and not being so attached to the physical world and what I think is good for myself, but rather let go and to become what is best for me according to what the universe have in store for me. And from there, it will be so much easier for manifestation as well. So I think it's super powerful to understand that every single one to really understand this process of alchemy so they can apply it into their life. Like in my book, it helped you to understand that concept, that philosophical concept of alchemy. And it will guide the reader to and inspire the reader to dig deeper knowledge into study into alchemy for their own self-reflection and their own self-healing journey. I wrote the book. It was primarily like I was thinking maybe just write a book about my van life because I'm like a nomadic van traveler and I have been living almost 4 years, you know, so and people was kind of interested in that subject. But at the time that I was writing my book, I stumbled upon type of alchemy and how it helped me to put the dots together in my life. And I get to understand that everything that I was on a challenge phase until like the decision of living in my van, and even my van lifestyle was actually a spiritual journey, and how that fits into the alchemical stages. And so I wanted to go through these stages in real life experience so that they can reflect itself, like, where am I on the process and what can I do to, you know, elevate myself and evolve myself.
Yeah, you say in your book that you have more of an alchemical focus rather than your nomadic lifestyle. But I'm sure that van life has had a major impact on how you've shaped yourself as a person. In your book, when I was reading it, you mentioned that you wish for a sort of reimagination of our world to be borderless between countries, between cultures, communities, and that is so powerful. That in itself is an awakening to realize that we once had what seems as an idealistic imagination that once was a reality. We didn't have those set borders between species or between cultures, communities, etc. And now we are in a reality where we're facing that violence to our bodies, our spiritual bodies, our material bodies. So we would love to know how your nomadic lifestyle has aided you to seek for and then materialize this vision of a borderless world or freedom that doesn't have any borders.
Yeah, that is like my ultimate vision, what I really want to happen in the world. You know, Gandhi says, if you want to see the change in the world, you have to change within yourself. And because I have had that desire for freedom ever since I was little, ever since I could remember, like I always want to get my family and my country and just go explore the world, you know. So this life that I was listening to my desire since I don't know, I think that's the reason why I feel like it's more like what my soul actually desires. It's only a way for me to express my freedom, or my desire to be free. So that connected to my spiritual world and my vision is I understand alchemy. I realized much it has helped me to not only connect the dots in my life, that everything has the meaning, and it's got me to understand why I have such desire of freedom. In the book of the Alchemist, Paulo did say that whatever that you desire, that rooted in your soul, because it's seeded from the universe. And so as I realized that, oh, if it's my life purpose, like, what does it really mean? Like, how can I help the world? And when the pandemic happened, it just seems that our freedom being stripped off, and like we more and more restricted, like even just to move from provinces to provinces within Canada is difficult because each province has different regulation and law, not to mention like traveling around the world, like with the visa now, like passport for vaccines, you know. So it appears to me that we are being contracted, and once we contracted, we have more restriction and we don't have the freedom. And because of that, I come to understand what desire and what is my life purpose. Because if I had gained that freedom within my soul from all stages that I have been through with alchemy and with my nomadic life being a van life, like freedom, I think to me, that's my highest value. I need freedom in order to travel. Right. So how can I really use experience and skill in order to help other people to gain their freedom from within? And so that's why I really focus the book on the spiritual aspect, because I really believe that when we can find freedom from within, that is when we have freedom in the world. And because of what happened in the collective right now, right? If we think of our society as one body, we have really restricted ourselves. And what happened basically really show us that we're not free. And that's why this work is important for us to free ourselves so we can have more freedom in the outer side, because that aligns with the Hermetic teaching as well. Because we have seen all the discrimination that happens or the restriction, the borders closed even in the same country. Sometimes like I could not even go from Ontario to Quebec because the border of the province closed. I was like, it's so ridiculous. Like how is it happening? It's like we live in the same country. You know, so it just shows that I've been reacting and make decisions a lot out of fear, and our society is very fear driven. And so the only way to get out of that is to overcome our fear, let go of our fear. And this process of outcome will teach you how to do that, how to have the courage to face ourselves, to overcome our fears, to do our inner healing so that we can gain more freedom within. You know, like there's so many different studies out there. There's so many different types of healing processes. And alchemy is basically just like a general like a concept for you to understand, because this is the concept of the universe. So it really doesn't matter like which route you take to heal yourself. You're still going to be on that alchemical process and as you heal yourself, you can gain more freedom in order to open up yourself so the world can open, you know. So that's the reason why I share my experience, because I think that everyone have their own healing journey, and it doesn't look the same for all of us. It's not one size fits all. I hope that my stories can help people to reflect for that reason, because I don't necessarily say, okay, this is what I did and you have to do exactly the same thing. Because the healing modality could work for me, but it may not work for them. Because like even with meditation, so many different types and so many different styles. So this type of meditation may be more, and it may be more effective to you than other type of meditation, you know. But essentially there to encourage people to step up and to do the healing work, inspire them to do the healing work. And first of all, to accept we all are wounded and we all have that shadows within ourselves, and we need to do that first. And we are one. We're connected with the collective. We are all one. And so the more people are doing this work, the faster for the world to start healing, you know, because we are part of the world. This is my vision. And as I finished writing this book, I realized like, okay, that's my life purpose. Like everything seems to be like aligned. Why I desire freedom, why all the challenges that happened to me and got me here to be a nomad and, you know, eventually being here. And so a lot of it happens along the way as well. That kind of pinpoint to me, okay, this is what you need to do and to be your purpose from now on, because I wasn't happy with any kind of work that I was in before, working for companies. I was working for one of the best hospitals in the world, and even I was comfortable with my job in Vancouver, being a salesperson for a coffee machine. And I was passionate about coffee machine. I really enjoyed it. But somewhere inside, it didn't feel fulfilling enough, because I'm guessing like it's like it wasn't aligned with my soul, but it's really wants to do, like mission that I come here to do, you know, until like I understand all of this. And I was like, yeah, I think this is my life purpose. And there has been students along the way and so much synchronicities, like gotta guide me like down this path and like help the world and bring more light to the world. And so I feel humbled to be able to do this. And even though it's like it has been a lot of challenges, it's difficult, but some part of me, I feel, you know, I feel like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to do. And I'm happy to be able to finally find my life purpose, because aligned with my vision that I had back then when I was younger, and it's aligned with my lifestyle. It didn't make sense for me at this point in my life.
Yeah, I think the biggest step that we can take to healing collectively, also on an individual scale, is to be open to possibility and opportunities to kind of learn about and explore the limitless ways of living the limitless ways of restoring our communities, our planet, and our human spirit. And thank you so much for actually coming on the show and providing us with that one way in which we can actually make sense of our life, and that's through alchemy and also nomadism. So to wrap up this episode, it would be great if you could give us, you've already given us so many tips and so much insight, but if you could just give us a tip on how we can regain that strength and that courage, that, as you mentioned, to explore the different realities that we can make our own, instead of settling for, you know, what is seen as a social and cultural norm, or perhaps the sort of setting that we're born into, or maybe the environment that we're forced into. How can we break out of that to attain that true freedom by exploring the different ways in which we can live and then become who we are?
That's such a good question. You know, I have so many tips. It's kind of like, I'm scanning in my head. What is one? What started for me is by listening to the heart, like knowing your heart and trusting your intuition. That's where it started for me. And so I think that's the foundation that we all need to know and need to learn. It's interesting because I actually have a conversation with my best friend last night, and I was telling him how he didn't trust his intuition and always ignoring that part of his condition to be that way. And so is many of us, you know, because it's so unfamiliar. I had a recent video on YouTube that I discussed with my viewers, the importance of listening to the heart and how it actually leads to a different path in your life that goes beyond your imagination. Our culture is when we were young, we were taught to make decisions logically, analytically using our left brain, and completely diminish the importance of the heart. Now, when I need to make important decision, I would tune into that intuition, you know, and what it feels like for me, where I go, and how I would want to change myself and transform myself. But this friend is an example because he's so skeptical to acknowledge his intuition. And it's like, because we don't want to accept that part of our spiritual self. Because so different, and it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense, we can't understand it. So it's kind of understandable how our human mind actually works, right? Because you can't understand, can't trust it, so you shouldn't listen to it. Because you don't know like where it's going to take. Like, it's basically all the unknown. So it requires a lot of trust and the discernment to know the difference as well, because that voice can be, especially if you really desire something that's not really good for you. For instance, like if you really want that piece of chocolate, or you really want to buy that dress, but you know you shouldn't. So that's different. That's more like about your ego. Your intuition doesn't really work that way. It's not really your heart that push you into that kind of desire, but more about this kind of, you would be able to sense this, like just when you meet someone and you can sense, oh, maybe I know this, or like I have like the connection with this person, maybe I should get to know them better, or like work with them, or you know, so that feelings is more about the intuition. For me, an example, like when I have the desire to travel, to express my freedom, because that's my core desire. So that was more like my intuition. You need to leave the US, you need to leave your job and do something else differently. It's very subtle. It's like, that's my way of making income. Like, why are you telling me to leave all that? It doesn't make any sense at all. It goes against with what society would tell us, even our parents and our friends, you know, because they don't understand what that intuition is like. So until you can really block out all the noises and really learn to trust yourself and be your own best friend and listen to that voice or feel that feelings, that sensation, and trust it and allow it to guide you, then we can slowly step out of the social and the cultural norm. That's what happened to me. That's how it led me into here. You know, and so I think that's the fun thing that everyone needs to understand, that do not ignore your heart. Listen to your intuition. But that's your spirit guide. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of spirituality or what kind of personal or what kind of teachers, no better teachers than your intuition. Because there's so many bodies and healing and healing processes. There's so many different ways to learn. But what is it that suited you the most? Only your heart will tell you. That's the reason why we have Christian and Buddhism and Hinduism. We have so many and they tell us to go through many different routes, but we all will end up, you know, with the same destination. And so your heart to guide you. What is your path? Everyone have their own healing path. It doesn't matter what you know, or what teachers that you have to go with. It's the best teacher is within yourself, with your heart. And that's what you should pay attention to the most. And I think that's the most powerful lesson for me.
Thank you so much again, Vivi, for gifting us your time and your wisdom, coming onto this space and sharing your journey, your life experiences through the alchemy and nomadism lens. I have learned so much, and I'm sure that the audience would have learned so much as well. We're truly grateful. And like you said, listen to your heart. You have really made our hearts more open to the different possibilities that are available for us to explore, the different realities. So thank you once again for coming on here.
You're welcome. Thank you to you as well for allowing me to be here. And I have a fantastic time to share my stories and my philosophies with the world, with your listeners. It's really my honor and my privilege.
Thank you for listening to the Mindful of Everything podcast. If this episode resonated with you, please support the podcast by giving a rating on whichever podcast platform you use, and share the podcast within your community to extend listenership to those who will also connect to the content. Visit mindfulofeverything.com for this episode's show notes, transcript, and links for Vivi's book, Living Through Alchemy, and her services.